your name? No, right behind you. The one on the fancy seat. What's your name?
Jessel.
Jessel?
Jessel.
Because you said that Prabhupada was your hero. Yes? He's also my hero.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Even though we are zero, he is our hero. Everyone is probably very tired and hungry and everything. And a little bit, I'll try to not make it into a Bhagavatam class. I'll try. But first,
also, my respects to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastagu today. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Pacharani Namaste Saraswati Vani Vishkati Devi.
I tend to listen to Prabhupada's morning walks for the last quite a few months. I've been just listening to his morning walks. And if you want to see or hear Prabhupada at his heavy best, listen to his morning walks. Every third word is, they are rascals, they are rascals, they are rascals. But Prabhupada, they think, you cannot be happy in this material world, but Prabhupada, they think they are happy. That is because they are rascals. Now, no one is happy in the material world, but how do you convince someone who says that they're happy, or how can you even state that someone who says, I am happy, how are you going to convince them you're not happy? I am happy. No, you're not. I am. No, you're not. I am. No, you're not. And why would Prabhupada, where did he get the strength of position? What was he thinking exactly when he said that no one is happy? And my conclusion about that, he was speaking in a very comparative way. We may get some happiness here. And Prabhupada said amazing things about that. But it's like, as the poet Govinda Das said, like water on the desert. One drop of water on the desert. When what we need is an ocean of water to make the desert fertile. We need true happiness to actually bring us happiness. So what is the realm that Prabhupada was speaking from? He's speaking from the level of what the soul is actually, what each and every one of us is actually capable of experiencing in happiness. And that is the level of the land of Goloka Vrindavan, where our relationship with Krishna, we're not trying to get into our relationship with Krishna, we're not struggling just to push back the forces of material nature that so much attack us, but we're actually living in our relationship of love and service to Krishna. And that land, that sweetness, that incredible happiness makes this material world look like hell. And when someone is in hell and thinking that it's heaven, it is a very big problem. For them, especially. But a further problem arises. Is that we could say that the material world is so terrible and this and that, dukkhalayam asaswatam anityam asukham lokam. You know what that means? Well, it means that everything is temporary. Everything is unfortunate. We could say that again and again and again, but we long for happiness. And no matter how many times we say that the material world is a miserable place, if we're not touching the sweetness of the spiritual world, we're going to be forced by our nature to try to attempt happiness in the material world. So that's a great challenge. And so much of Prabhupada's preaching was about the material world and the miserable place, and the scientists are rascals, and the politicians are rascals, and this one is a rascal, and that one's a rascal. But when he speaks about Vrindavan, there's a different energy that comes. It is an energy of sweetness. But that brings another problem. Perhaps yesterday, I heard Prabhupada on a morning walk, someone was talking about devotees who were prematurely acting as if they were on a level that they actually weren't on. They were just reading about just the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna before they were mature enough. And Prabhupada didn't like that either. So we can't get there by making believe we are there. We have to become purified, very purified. And we have to know the philosophy from the first canto to the ninth canto. And that was one of Prabhupada's responses to that. They only read the 10th canto in the Rasalila section, but they should read from the beginning all the way and then become qualified. But that leads to another problem, as far as I have seen. And that problem is, I'll say in a story, a pastime, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. And once some brahmacharis approached Srila Saraswati Thakur, who had been in the temple and serving young ladies, you're dealing with a teacher here, you have to be good, you have to not talk, you have to listen, or you have to leave. Okay. So these brahmacharis were sitting in the back of the room, and it was like this with Srila Prabhupada too. They wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't say what was on their mind, because the presence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very heavy, very substantial. He was powerful. And Srila Prabhupada was very substantial, very powerful. So they had something to say to him, but they didn't want to say it because they were frightened of his presence. So finally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked and saw him and said, "It appears that you have something to say, but you're not saying it." And they replied, "Yes, we do, but we're frightened." And he said, "Well, if it is a sincere thing you want to say, then we should say it." And they said, "We have been here servants for 10 years. And yet we don't feel closer to Krishna." And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur answered in such a simple way that it appears that it almost wasn't an answer at all. He said, "Don't worry, don't be afraid, just continue."
Interesting.
Devotees are coming to him and saying, "I've been here serving and chanting for 10 years and I'm not experiencing myself closer to Krishna," and his response is, "Don't be afraid, just continue." Upon meditating on this and hearing different explanations of it, I reached a conclusion about what he meant. And the conclusion is that you want to get closer to Krishna, but you're not feeling closer to Krishna. That is a very important beginning. Because in this material world, no one is close to Krishna. Everyone, Krishna, Buddha, Seji, Anadya, Bahirmukh, they've turned their back on Krishna. That that's what it means to be in the material world. Everyone is a criminal. Turn them back to Krishna. Whether we are young, whether old, we're in the material world, we're in the prison house, we've turned them back on Krishna. So to understand clearly that I don't have love for Krishna, and I'm not feeling close to Krishna, is one of the greatest steps forward in spiritual life. It is called humility. I've been trying, but unless you are merciful to me, what hope do I have? Otherwise, my hands will always continuously, my mind will continuously fall into the trap of trying to enjoy the material world, which won't be for our good. So we need to understand that our back is somewhat turned to Krishna, and we need to become humble, and we need to increase that taste, that desire, tatiraloyam, abhimulam, ekalam, I want to be with you, but I don't have the capacity. In Majjhalila Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 2, there is a discussion between Mahaprabhu. One devotee says, Mahaprabhu, you have so much love for Krishna. And he says, no, prema ganda. What to speak of having no love for Krishna? What to speak of having, not only don't I have the substance, I don't even have the fragrance that would indicate the substance is nearby. But they said, you're crying all the time as you chant. And he replied, it is just a show. This was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. This was the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This was the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An intense desire, increasingly intense desire to be there with Krishna, starting from the point of knowing that I'm empty, and then proceeding with the desire increasing, one's feeling of capacity decreasing, and then chanting and crying for mercy. Without your mercy, Amito Kangal, that's forgetting, what hope do I have? So when we're talking to the youth, we don't like to talk like this exactly, because we want them. Yes. Enthusiasm, yes, I could, yes, the whole world will become, we used to think that, the whole world would become Krishna conscious, and after a few years, everyone would be pure devotees. But as Prabhupada said many times, it is not so easy. This is the highest thing. It is the jewel, the great jewel of existence, given to everyone. Everyone freely, but who will take it? Other than, of course, all the devotees. You please take it. And when Prabhupada would, sometimes I hear Prabhupada speak, the devotees are asking very technical questions on these morning walks about the spiritual world, and is it like this, and do the trees walk, and do the trees talk in the spiritual world? Things, and Prabhupada would just say, yes, yes. Or sometimes, no, no. And then he would say, Harinama, 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 Rivakevalam. But the chanting, Tvama Kinshana Gochara, the chanting has to be in the right mood. The mood of, I want, but I have no qualification. Unless you are merciful to me, what hope do I have? This was the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the gift of Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. This was the gift of Srila Prabhupada. Let us try our best and use our life in a wise way. And I also want to say that the young boys and young girls, they're so nice. And it's so nice to see their inspiration and dedication. And we pray on this day that Srila Prabhupada will bless you all so much, and also the elders too, but especially the jewels of our youth.